you to get grape juice at home or wine. If you don't have that, get water. And get some bread. And get ready to join us at home. I told you last night, I'm going to return to this crusade on TV of bringing communion into the home. Call up all your sick friends. Tell them to tune in and listen. Play it again, Ron. Same key.
First key.
Yeah, stay on the first key. Me, 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 me. You all ready? Gracious memory. Unseen angels. You know what? Sent from somewhere to my soul. Come on, help me. Take us longer than it takes you at home to get ready, so just get up and go get the fixings. We're going to gather around the table of the Lord. Don't give me a face revolve at 10 o'clock. About the time we join New York City and Hartford and the other cities, we'll all go to the table of the Lord together. Come on, you know this old song, don't you? I meant to start over in the verse a minute ago, and everybody else is on the chorus. It took us one to get together, but we got it now. Let's go. somewhere to my soul that could help me. Singing. Oh, time singing, gladness bringing, glad. joined us at 5 minutes ago. We've been here for an hour and 5 minutes. We're going to the table of the Lord. I want you to get ready. There at home, if you don't have wine or grape juice, get water, get bread, and get ready to join us. One more verse, one more chorus, while you get ready that just joined us, because I took you by surprise. And then together, turn to page 78 if you've got a Bible like mine. Exodus 12, we're going to talk about the Passover. A crusade for the 10 years I've been on television, turn me down just a hair, Peter, and all the other mics off, to bring this Lord's Supper back into the homes. In Exodus 12, it's where it all began. Not really in the sense that sacrifice for sins began here. That began with Abel. Actually, it began with the covering that God gave Adam and Eve. He slew the animal and gave them the covering. Atonement means exactly that, covering. But the Passover, from which the Lord's Supper is derived in fulfillment, Exodus 12 tells you about it. And as I said earlier, I know lots of Jewish friends. They don't know what the name comes from. It's hard for the modern mind to think of God sending an angel to kill the firstborn in every home. Firstborn human, firstborn animal. Gonna kill them all. He'd have the Animal Protection Society on him if he tried that today. And the firstborn in every house. The modern mind revolts against this. But here it is. Speak ye unto all the congregation, Exodus 12, of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them. Now you'll watch on television, you who watch me, all through this holiday season. High liturgical, mysterious derivations of this. But here it is in simplicity. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers. A lamb for an house. Each household took a lamb on the 10th day of the month. Now this year, based upon the Jewish calendar, they have determined that Friday of this week is Passover. It falls on the 14th day of the month, according to their reckoning. Doesn't matter what day of the week it is. In 33 A.D., it fell on Wednesday. This year, it falls on Friday. On the 10th day of the month, take a lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from out of the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. Now, I try to put flesh and blood on the Bible, which doesn't happen often. That seems cruel on the face of it. You bring the lamb in on the 10th, not just any old lamb, not even just any old firstborn lamb. Not any old firstborn lamb without blemish. Bring it in on the 10th. You ever been around a little lamb? They're cute. It's very hard to bring a lamb into your home on the 10th and not be in love with it by the 14th. It's a pet. On the face of it, that's pretty cruel. Why couldn't God let the father go out and just find a lamb, not even tell anybody in the family which one it was, and just do the job? Bring the pet in. Too cold in here. Turn that cooler out. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now let me tell you what, I don't care what the margin of your Bible says, let me tell you what the original of that is. Between the evenings. The context determines its meaning. In this case, it meant that very evening. But it's important to remember that the word has both meanings, between the evenings, from one sundown to another sundown. The context tells you directly when. In this case, their orders were to kill it that evening of the 14th day. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night. That's where your context tells you it had to be the first evening. They shall eat the flesh in that night. Between the evenings, you go from sundown to sundown. But because they must eat the flesh that night, the meaning is predetermined by the context. It's between the evenings, but early enough between the evenings that the same night, before the next day ceases to be night, they have to eat the flesh. That night, they shall eat it, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, or more literally, a passing over to the Lord. Now, if they did that according to directions, that evening of the 14th day, that means sundown of the 13th day. You got that? The evening of the Passover will be Thursday night. Sundown. They don't reckon the day the way we do. They start not at midnight, 12:01. They start at sundown. If it were a Wednesday, it'd be Tuesday night if Passover is Wednesday. Tuesday night by our reckoning. They slay the lamb that evening, which is the close of the 13th day, as we would determine it, beginning at sundown and carrying over till sundown on the end of the 14th day. Place blood on the posts and on the lintel. Specifically, in another context, slay it on the threshold so there's blood on the threshold, on the posts, and on the door jamb. Go inside, roast the lamb with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, and eat it with staff in hand, in haste, with sandals on your feet. Now let's apply logic to that. Why are we supposed to do this? Because the preacher said, By doing this, you will escape what is going to happen at the hand of the Passover angel. The firstborn in every house, animal and man, will be slain that night. And the only thing that will prevent it, you slay this little pet you've kept in your home for 4 days, put the blood on the doorpost, go inside and close the door. And at midnight, the angel will see the blood on the door as a token and pass over the house and not slay those in the house. You can't even use the word Passover without coming to grips with this brutal, graphic happening. The angel passes over. That's why they call it the Passover feast. You're eating the lamb inside the closed doors, protected by the blood, and the angel sees the blood as a token or a sign and passes over. No blood on the door. Death in the house. Well, I don't like that idea. It philosophically jars my sophisticated expectancy of what God ought to be. Give a philosophic speech at the funeral. They're going to help you. Well, I don't understand. Why would God do this? I mean, why would blood on this door let the angel pass over and no blood on the door he'd enter in and kill? Well, the angel had his marching orders. Didn't matter whether I understood it or not. It didn't matter how big my house was, how little my house was. Didn't matter how good a life I'd lived. Didn't matter if I was the known thief in the camp. Didn't matter if I was the moral wretch in the camp. Didn't matter if I was anything. The best living man with no blood on the door, the angel of death came in and did his job. The worst reprobate with blood on the door, the angel passed over. Well, there's got to be some spiritual exercises at the door after you put the blood on. I mean, angels can see through doors. But just some people behind that door that don't deserve to stay alive. You see how stupid closed communion, guilt at the door of the Lord's table, neo-Puritan legalism is? Just stupid it is. It didn't matter. If 5 seconds before the lamb was slain and the blood put on the door and the door closed, the guy who went in was deserving to be shot because of what his neighbors thought of him. One criteria for safety and escape from the death angel. The angel passed over the house without respect to the behavioral pattern of those inside, other than they put the blood on the door. They slew the lamb and they put the blood on the door. Now, where has the church gone in departure from that premise? Now, the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup. It was real wine, by the way, in spite of what people think, because he kept the Passover the traditional way. From that night on, God told him to keep it through the centuries and to keep it remembering that God had delivered them from Egypt's bondage. The night that Jesus was betrayed, he was keeping the Passover in a house. That's one of my crusades, to bring it back in the home, like the early Christians did and like the Jews did and still do. in an upper room in John Mark's mother's house, he was keeping the Passover. Between the evenings, as the Passover day began after sundown, the night of the 13th, he took bread and broke it and blessed it. And up to that point, these Jews who followed him expected a normal Passover. He took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And he took the cup and said, "This is my blood." And he gave a meaning that enabled Paul to say in later writings, "Christ has become our Passover." That lamb was a shadow being cast. And when you see a shadow, you look for the substance that casts the shadow. And that substance was Christ. That's exactly what the Hebrews letter says. God spoke in many times, past diverse ways, but has sent forth in these days his Son. The Greek later describes that happening as the hypostasis, or substance of God, moving on to the stage of history. And we now see the substance from which the shadow was cast. That night he gave substance as the blood of the lamb is suddenly translated into a more valuable blood. Now, what's the value of the blood anyway? Leviticus 17:11 says the life of the soul resides in the blood. God said, "For sin comes death." As blood is spilled, life is poured out. God that night taught his right to take a substitute sacrifice and let its blood be spilled. And when that substitute was taken by God, it removed the necessity of killing the one that's being substituted for. Christ became our substitute for the sins, not just mine only, but the sins of the whole world. And that night, before he was betrayed, he took the cup that Jews had drunk from throughout the centuries, remembering a night when the blood of a lamb had spared the household the death that fell on everyone else. And he gave it the meaning, "This is my blood. Take it," he says, "and remember me. This do in remembrance of me until I come again." Same meaning as the Passover. Whatever death for sin we're all entitled to, it passes over. We're covered. He, like the lamb, took the penalty, poured out his blood, and we're covered. That's why I said, don't allow guilt at this table, ever. If there's any one place you shouldn't be looking at yourself, trying to determine your adequacy, this is not the place. None of us are worthy. We're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Well, what about Paul said, let him eat and drink worthy? That isn't what he said. Paul said, let us eat and drink worthily. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily is what he said. Eateth and drinketh damnation. Crema, temporary punishment to himself. Unworthily is an adverb. It modifies the behavior. It modifies the act, not the person. Paul was talking about the manner of partaking. And he said, you eat and drink unworthily in an unworthy manner, you'll eat and drink a damnation to you. Well, what is eating and drinking unworthily? What manner brings that damnation? To eat and drink not discerning the Lord's body, not discerning that he was worth enough to stand in for all of us. And because he shed his blood, God laid all the sins of all of us, past, present, future, on him. He died for me. If I don't accomplish anything else, I want guilt out from front of this table. Preacher, deacon, saint, sinner, we're on equal footing. It is the shed blood of Christ that sets us free, and we're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. The only damnation that stands on the horizon is to not see that and not discern what he did, how adequate his covering was, how complete the sacrifice was, and you and I are made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. I'll say to a person coming off a dope, if he can see clearly enough to understand Christ died for him, he can partake with me. Our worthiness, the blood. Take this cup and say with me, there at home or sitting here, thank the Lord for his grace. I'm made worthy. And when God looks at me, he sees the shed blood of Christ. And as the Old Testament saint merely had to put it on the doorpost, he makes it simpler for me. With the heart man believeth, with the mouth the proclamation is made, and all I got to do is lift the cup and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and I'm covered. I'm covered. God sees me through the worthiness of Christ. Can you say, thank you, Lord, for his grace as we take the cup? In Jesus' name. Why are there two elements at this table? Why'd they eat the roasted lamb inside? And why'd they eat it with staff in hand, sandals on their feet, and eat in haste? If sin is the only thing that's being taken care of, all you need is the blood, the symbol of the cup. Something else was done. Psalm 105 says, when they came out of Egypt, describing it, there wasn't a feeble one in their midst. 2.25 million people that had been in slavery come out without a feeble one in their midst. That's not naturally possible, save God healed them. Healed every Israelite that night as they ate the roasted lamb. That's why Jesus took bread. That's why Isaiah 53 says, not only he bore our iniquity, with his stripes you're healed. Matthew 8:17 makes it clear he lifted in that atonement act our physical sicknesses and infirmities off of us. Peter, looking back, said, with his stripes you were healed. That's why there's bread here. They ate the roasted lamb for strength. They ate it with sandals on their feet, staff in hand. That's the act of faith symbolized, ready to move. That night God would begin to deliver them. I've said to people that are sick, do something that symbolizes sandals on the feet, staff in hand. If you can't stand up, sit up. Tell somebody to come to your sick bed and put some shoes on your feet. Get ready to be healed. Take the bread and understand you don't have to deserve healing any more than you deserve the gift of his covering through his shed blood. The healing behind the closed doors was all of God because of their faith. If they obediently ate the lamb with staff and sandals, readiness and haste, they were healed. Take this bread, and wherever you are, say with me, with his stripes, I was healed. Put it in the past tense and personalize it. With his stripes, I was healed. And thank the Lord as we take in Jesus' name. Play it again. Sing it again. Thank you. back to the promises tonight. People have just joined us.
My staff people.